Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this program. It is with Mufti Muhammad Akusab Tamat Barakatuhu, senior teacher of and ustad of Newcastle Darul Uloom. MashaAllah, is with us today. Today's date is the 2nd of Rabi'ul Awwal, 1446 in South Africa. Other areas of the world, it is the 3rd. Let's welcome Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Muhammad?
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. How's Mufti Saab doing?
Allah's karam, Allah's mercy. Alhamdulillah.
Where's Mufti Saab heading to today?
We're nearby. Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us.
Ameen, ameen. Mufti Saab, tell us what's on your mind, what do you want to share with the Ummah today?
Allah, I'd love to share because this new month has just come in and this is such an opportunity and a reminder for us. Because when this month Rabi'ul Awwal comes in and there's so many historical events, but the greatest being the amazing arrival of our beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That creation of Allah who came to change the condition of the entire world. The world was going in one direction, and Allah brought this man, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who changed that entire current, the water current, into another direction. He did what was impossible. Subhanallah. So obviously, I feel it would be an injustice to start this discussion without mentioning our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his coming into this world. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran tells us about this pledge Allah took with all the anbiya. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Allah took this pledge from all the anbiya alayhim wassalam. لَمَا أَتَيْتُكُم مِّن كِتَابِي وَحِكْمَةٍ. That I have given you the book, the books that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the anbiya alayhim wassalam. لَمَا أَتَيْتُكُم مِّن كِتَابِي وَحِكْمَةٍ. That you take Allah's book and you implement it and you practice it. ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ. But when he, the Rasul of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, comes. So in this verse, this Rasul, where Allah is telling all the Anbiya about, is Rasul, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Rasul comes, لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّ. That I want you all to take this pledge, that you believe in him and you support him. Imagine the grandeur of our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that every Nabi was told about him. Every Nabi was told about him and took a pledge with Allah that they will follow him if they had to be in his time. That's why so beautifully Al-Faruqi rahimahullah, he renders these words of poetry where he says, في كتاب الزبور نعتك يتلى وبلوح التوراة وصفك يملى وبنص الإنجيل قد صح نقلا ما مضت فترة من الرسل إلا بشرت قومها بك الأنبياء صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, even in the Zabur, your description, your accolade was recited, and in the slate of the Torah, your description was rendered. And in the words of the Injil, it is narrated that you are mentioned and your mention is enshrined. And every Nabi that came in the past told their people about you. Imagine how fortunate are we to be from the Ummah of the greatest, the beloved of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he came into this world. The month was Rabi'ul Awwal. Our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in the valley of Banu Hashim in Makkah Mukarramah. It was the morning of a Monday. It's clear in the hadith it was Monday. As far as the date is concerned, there is differences of opinion. There is an opinion of the 9th. There is an opinion of the 12th. So obviously there are few opinions as far as his exact birth. Monday, 9th or 12th. It was the year of Amul Fil. So just 50 days approximately prior to this, there was an event that happened in Arabia where the king of Yemen, Abraha, who was actually ruling Yemen under the Abyssinian king, he was marching with his army and his elephants to crush Kaaba and Baytullah. And Allah preserved Kaaba and Baytullah. That happened the same year Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. So something interesting is Suratul Fil, where Allah addresses His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Oh my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you know of the event? Allah is asking, Tara. Tara also means to see. Did you see? But it also means, do you know of the event? How your Lord, كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ. Whenever Allah says ka in the Quran, Subhanallah, it mainly refers to Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your Lord, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how He dealt with the people of the elephants. So in this, Allama Alusi says that the fact that Allah is saying to His beloved that Allah, Muhammad Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, protected Kaaba. This is a clear indication that Allah protected Kaaba because of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Quran didn't say, did you see how the Lord of Kaaba protected Kaaba? The Quran says, did you see how Muhammad Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam protected Kaaba? So the month was Rabi'ul Awwal, and it was, according to the Gregorian calendar, the 20th or the 22nd of April, 571. The beloved of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came into this world. Imagine, Allah chose whose womb should be he be in. Subhanallah. Allah chose Hazrat Amina. Hazrat Amina says, when I gave birth to him, from my belly, kharaja min farji, nur emanated from my womb, and this nur adaat lahu qusur al-sham, the palaces of Sham and areas around the world were enlightened. I could see from that nur, I could see these areas in the world. And subhanallah, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, and this, the fact that Allah protected Kaaba and Allah showed these amazing miracles through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a sign of the miracle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Arabic, the miracle of our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prior to his prophethood is called Irhas. And once he becomes the Nabi of Allah and Anbiya perform miracles, that in Arabic is called Mu'jizat. So anyway, when Amina gave birth to our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allama Alusi mentions, and he quotes Ibn Hisham. So Ibn Hisham brings this report that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went, and his mother made dua for him, and she saw this guidance through a dream, Amina binti Wahab, and she was told to say, U'idhu bil wahid min sharri kulli hasid. Seek Allah's protection. That I seek the protection of Allah from the harm of every jealous one. And then name him Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allahu Akbar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father passed away. The preferred view is, it's commonly known that he passed away before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. But there is another historical opinion that just after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into this world, he lost his father. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first person he drank milk from was obviously his mother, Hazrat Amina. Now she was very special. Allah chose her to be the mother of the beloved of Allah, of Allah's greatest creation. How special is Hazrat Amina? She's chosen by Allah. Then we have Suwayba. Suwayba was the next person Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank from. And then Hazrat Halima gives her narrative. Ibn Ishaq quotes Hazrat Halima's incident. He's one of the greatest historians. He says that Halima would say that I left my community with my husband, and we traveled to Makkah. And we came with few other women from the Banu Sa'ad bin Bakr clan. Taltanisu ruda'a. Hazrat Halima said, we were looking for foster children that we would rear and care for and grow up and feed. And their purpose there was, that was part of their means of income. They would take care of these children. These children's need would get fulfilled if they grow up in the wilderness, in the farm area. That's a purer upbringing, and that's what the parents wanted. That was the common practice in Arabia. And we would also get some income. And Halima says the year was drought. Fi sanatin shahbah. We had nothing. Everything was dry. We traveled on a donkey and a camel. Atan and a sharif. Sharif is a camel. And there was nothing. There wasn't any milk even from the other of the camel. We couldn't even sleep because my child, Masrooh, was screaming and crying because of hunger. من بكائه من الجوع, extreme hunger. ما في ثديه ما يغنيه وما في شارفنا ما يغذيه. I didn't have in my chest anything to suffice him, nor in our camel anything to quench him or satiate him. But we were hoping for the help of the Almighty. We came, and it was a very hard ride. When we came to Makkah, every one of us saw Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Halima says everyone refused him, especially when they heard that he is yatim. Yatim in this way that he didn't have a father. His father had passed on. That's why it's the preferred view that his father passed on before he came into this world. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّا كُنَّا نَرْجُ الْمَعْرُوفَ مِنْ أَبِصَّبِي. We didn't want to take a child who didn't have a father, because generally it was the father who made sure and paid these foster mothers. So we would think, yatim, what his mother or anyone else could do. For that reason, we all refused him. And I tried to get other children, but I found that my other friends and colleagues found children to take, but I had none other. When we were about to return, and my hand was empty, I hadn't acquired any deal of any child, and I didn't want to get back home empty-handed. I'm telling my husband, Abu Kabsha, by Allah, you know, I'm going to take that orphan child. Let me take him. What do you feel? My husband told me, take him. لا بأس عليك أن تفعل. You rather do so. There's no harm. Because Allah will put barakah for us. He's a yatim. We take him. Allah will bless us. That was their intention. And she said, I took him when I picked him up. I actually took him because I had no other choice. There was no one else to take. But when I took him, I put him on my lap. Immediately as he drank, my chest was full of milk. I started lactating properly. He drank. He was satiated. His brother drank. Brother was satiated. They both slept. وَمَا كُنَّا نَنَامُ مَعَهُ قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ. With our own child, we could never sleep before that. Then my husband happened to pass the camel. It is full of milk. فَإِذَا هِيَ حَافِلٌ. So he milked the camel. He brought milk for us. He drank. I drank. حَتَّى انْتَهَيْنَا رَيًّا وَشِبْعًا. We were satiated. We were quenched. فَبِتْنَا بِخَيْرِ لَيْلَةٍ. It was the best night ever. So Halima says, the next morning, my husband is telling me, you know what, Halima? لَقَدْ أَخَذْتِي نَسَمَةً مُبَارَكَةً. You've taken a blessed soul, Halima. You've taken a blessed soul. What is jackpot? That means nothing. What is the best deal in this world? It means nothing. Here, she was fortunate. Allah chose Halima, radiallahu anha. Allah chose her to host and to care and to do the lactating and the fosterage of the best of Allah's creation. Allah chose her. Halima is telling her husband, Abu Kabsha, you know, I really feel you right. We left and we traveled on our donkey. She says, I passed the entire caravan. The whole animal was rigorous, was in proper, you know, strength. And my friends are telling me, Yabnata Abi Zu'ayb, Abu Zu'ayb's daughter, Yabnata Abi Zu'ayb, Halima, what happened? Wait, isn't this the same donkey you came on? Because when she says, when I was coming with the same conveyance, it was right behind the caravan because our conveyance couldn't keep up. Halima says, Wallah, innaha lahiya hiya by Allah, this is the same one. So my friends are telling me, something happened here. What happened? And then she says, we came to our area, Banu Sa'd. And I, at that time, this area was afflicted with drought. And our animals would come back also hungry. But now, our goats would go and come back satiated, fresh, full of, health, and full of milk. And we would milk and we would drink. But our area was suffering. So others would see the condition of our livestock, and they would get amazed. So they would then say to their shepherds, go and see where the shepherd of Halima grazes. And they would do the same, but still our flock would come back with an increase of strength and health and milk and meat. And this child was our blessing. He grew in a spectacular manner, like no other child. And she says, we loved him, and he was the blessing in our home. And now the period of 2 years came to an end. I had to take him back to his mother. So with a heavy heart, we took him. But as I was returning him to Amina, I said to Amina, I feel my child is not ready to be here with you all in Makkah. He still needs more time with us. Amina, please, send him with us. Halima says, I knew Amina wanted her child, but this was the heart of Amina. She says, okay. Imagine the level of kindness in the heart of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She wants her child. The 2 year period that her father-in-law would have demanded that the child must be there and so forth, that had elapsed. She also wants her child. Imagine any child. Imagine this child. Any mother loves her child. My mother, you love your child. This is no ordinary child. This is the beloved of Allah. This is the greatest. And Halima says to Amina, send her with me. Amina's heart, she couldn't say no. Okay, Halima. Okay. And Halima returns with our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it happened that a few months later, an event happened in Banu Sa'd. It's all in Allah's decree. It was the time where Allah sent the angels who took the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who did for him this open heart transplant, who placed his Mubarak pure heart in the pure water of Zamzam. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing. And subhanallah, and then our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was stitched by the angels of Allah, Jibreel alayhi salam and his satis, Mikael. And they completed their task. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's brothers, foster brothers were worried, and his siblings. And they all ran away to call their mother and father. And when they came, they saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting there pale. What happened? But they now got worried, because he explained that these were two men bright, and this is where they took me, and this is what happened. So, Allahu Akbar, Halima got worried. She now decides to take the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before anything happens, to his mother. When she returns with our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Makkah Mukarramah, and now Amina notices that Halima is worried. And when Amina notices the worry of Halima, Amina says, Halima, you sound worried. Let me reassure you, this is no ordinary child. Let me tell you about this child. And now Amina tells Halima what happened when this special child was born, how he came into this world, how she felt no pain and no pangs and no taklif whatsoever, no mental taklif, no bodily difficulty. Because our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, every aspect of his life was to rid people of taklif, to uplift people, to support people, to aid people. There's an amazing report, even when he would drink milk by Halima, he would drink from the one side of his foster mother's chest, and then she would turn him to the other. He would drink from the one side and not drink from the other. Imagine, because that was his brother's share. This is Allah's beloved. Try it with your children. Try it with your own children. Ya Allah. Imagine this Nabi of Allah, the beloved of Allah, who came to teach the world justice, integrity, kindness, character, consideration, love, mercy. This is that Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His birth had an impact in the entire universe. The superpowers of the world were shaking. That king, Anushirwan, the king of Kisra, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, he also was shocked because the fire of Persia got extinguished. That entire fire that was kindled for 1,000 years. The Roman emperor's balconies of his palace earthquaked and collapsed. And they all worried, what is happening? Actually, that was four balconies from the palace of Kisra. Kisra is not the Roman emperor, but the Persian emperor. And the fire that was worshipped by the Majus, and was all, and even the lake Sawa water seeped into the ground because they would do prayers and all sorts of shirk by those waters. Allahu Akbar. This is the beloved of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now imagine, Halima took barakat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became the barakah in the home of Hazrat Halima. You and I can also acquire barakah. Today, respected ummah, the sunnah of our beloved is yatim. The deen of our beloved is yatim. Today, you tell people about sunnah, it's only a sunnah. It's our tone, ya Allah, our tone in which we utter these words, subhanallah, many a time sounds like kufr. Allah knows best. Allah save us. Imagine how can we utter only a sunnah? We learned from the ulama, subhanallah, that when sahaba practiced and said it was sunnah, it meant for sahaba, it's sunnah, we have to do it. There's incidents about sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum that they would get very upset with their own children if the sunnah was neglected, if the sunnah was belittled, if the sunnah was not given importance. Sahaba would get very upset. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. But imagine today the whole tone changes. It's only a sunnah. Allah forgive us. That's why we have to bring alive the value of sunnah. Today we understand the value of our commodities. A man's car gets scratched. He worked hard for that car. You know, he paid for it. He worked hard. And now someone comes and scratches it. He gets very, very upset. It hurts him. It aches him. Why? Because he knows the value of that commodity. That child who got shoes, mother bought for him shoes, he scrapes it, he scratches it, he doesn't hurt it. But that person who had to pay hard and work hard and pay slowly and pay installments and finally he bought that shoe, he'll even take a brand new scarf that is someone else's or someone else gave him to wipe his shoe because he paid for the shoe. Because he worked hard for the shoe. Because he understands the value of that shoe. Imagine you and I, if we lose 100 rands, we'll worry. What happened to it? Where is it? Where it was? If we lose 1,000 rands, we'll worry even more. We'll even think, but wasn't it here? And we'll keep on looking in different places quite a few times. Imagine we lost 100,000 rands. Imagine we lost 1,000,000 rands. It could take our sleep away. It would bring depression, grief. If you are on another bracket, brother, then you can do another comparison. You lost even more than that. What would it do to you? Something that we understand the value of it worldly. And loss of that would hurt us because we know how much of effort we made. What is the value of sunnah to us? The person who lost 1 rand, he'll just think, where was it? And it won't even bother him. What is the value of sunnah to us? If a person left a sunnah, will we worry just like the person who lost 1 rand or the 10 rand or the 100 rand or that 1,000 or 1,000,000 rand, how much will it worry us that, you know, I missed out on the sunnah? You know, I should, you know, and we worry about it. We just forgot about it and we just shrug it and we don't even think the second time. What is, every one of us have to ask ourselves, what is our value of sunnah? And when Allah speaks about the sunnah mubarakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Ali Imran. Allah says, tell them, O my Nabi, qul, tell them, O my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, if you claim you love Allah, fattabi'u me, so follow me, emulate me, fattabi'u me, yuhbibukum Allah, Allah will love you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And Allah will forgive you your sins. And then Allah says in Surah Al-Ahzab, imagine a verse where Allah emphasizes 7 times. Quran doesn't just say, follow my Nabi. Quran emphatically with 7 particles of emphasis. Quran emphasizes the importance of emulating the Sunan Mubarakah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All his beautiful Sunan. Every one of us must make mudhakara of the Sunnah. In our homes, when sitting to eat, let's discuss with our children, what's the Sunnah of eating. And give each child an opportunity. You also tell us what you learned before going to sleep. Let's do the same. Let's establish the halaqa of ta'aleem in our homes so ourselves and our children can uplift and implement the sunnah mubarakah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know what is the greatest sunnah? The greatest practice of our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the greatest practice of all the anbiya alayhi wa sallam is da'wat ilallah. This is what our Nabi did. This is what every Nabi did. To tell every non-Muslim. To introduce Allah to every non-Muslim. This is the greatest sunnah. The most emphasized sunnah of our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us practice all his beautiful sunnah and this greatest sunnah. Because Allah in the Quran says to his beloved, say to them that this is my way. Ad'u ila Allah. I invite every non-Muslim to Allah. Ala basira, with wisdom and insight. Ana, this is my work. This is my sunnah. This is my road. This is my mode. This is my way. وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. And all those who follow me, those who make my ittiba', they do the same. Allah give us tawfiq. Jazakumullah khairan.
Mufti Sahib, Jazakumullah khairan for sharing with us this important message. We appreciate your time. Make dua for us as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, that was Mufti Muhammad Aku Sahib Damat Barakatuhu and mentioning to us about the birth of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, beautiful incidents that had taken place there. So we have this day of Jumu'ah, it's the month of Rabi'ul Awal. Make a lot of Durood Sharif, recite Suratul Kahf, make dua. Today is the day of Jumu'ah. We say Jazakumullah Khairan. From us in the team, Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.